Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, and today we'll be talking with Jeff Hundley, the Sugar Bowl CEO, getting ready for New Year's Day, Notre Dame in Georgia, and at 5:20, former Saints Super Bowl champ, part of the SEC Network analyst, Roman Harper, and I can't wait for that because that is classic Deuce, Roman Harper, and Deuce joins us as well. Hello there, my friend. Where are you calling from today?
I am somewhere in California, Panoma, California, yeah. I believe is the correct, out at the L.A. County Fair area, possibly. I think that is correct.
Yeah. Well, you know, this has happened frequently when you were doing the SEC games. It hasn't happened in a while, so it's all good.
Well, some of that's by choice as well. So, some of that's by choice as well. I had some opportunities to call a couple college games, but man, with the family and their obligations and wanting to be a part of that, it had to make sense for me. And so, I've enjoyed obviously being in studio with yourself, and then when we were able to get out to a couple of remotes, always loved that. But I mean, this was a tournament that one of my my kids were in, and so had an opportunity to come out and just to see it. I've seen some of our training camp sites, I'll put it like that, and so I didn't venture all the way into Orange County, etc., but it's been good.
So this is, and we talked about this a little bit pre-Green Bay, that it was just kind of unfamiliar territory. There were three games left, and quite frankly, the way the Green Bay game went, and then it was Christmas, and then you're kind of right into Vegas, which I'm fine with. But, you know, Derek Carr's out. We kind of knew that. Alvin Kamara, Eric McCoy, Lucas Patrick. And so, I mean, I don't – tell me where this team's head is. What are they doing? What are they thinking?
If they're hurt, you're probably not going to go. That's probably where you're at, you know, and it's really obviously the player always wants to play. But from an organizational standpoint, how can I save this player from himself? I mean, because Derek, AK, even Eric and Lucas, those guys want to go. I mean, it's not like, hey, you know, we're out of the playoffs, so I don't want to play. That's not the mentality. I mean, because, look, you train too hard. I mean, and people, they realize it, but you start in March for training for a season, and you train for at least 20 games, possibly 22. How many games have those guys been able to participate in? You know, just take Derek, take Eric, you know, both of them miss what, 7, 8, yep, 9 games, yep, you know, roughly. And so you think that they sacrifice as much time away from their family to not have the opportunity to compete. And then here's the other part. Every player, let me put it this way. Nearly every player will tell you, oh, man, I'm going to play for 10 years. I'll play for 10 years and then I'll retire on my own. You know how many players get to walk away on their own? Very, very few. So if you've got an opportunity to play, you play. And for this team, though, they're going to try to hold those players back from themselves. You are trying to win a football game, but at the same time, you're trying to evaluate players. You know, you're trying to evaluate and see who could be a part of the future. And, you know, Coach Darren Rizzi, he's in evaluation mode because not only from a player standpoint, but he wants to be the full-time head coach. And so he is trying to win, but it's tough when you don't have those Pro Bowl and All-Pro players available.
Right. You don't have – Olave's questionable. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, again, questionable. It's such a, you know, one of the things that Spencer Rattler talked about, who will start on Sunday, is that, you know, the big difference between those three games that he started in the middle part of the season when Derek was out was that, hey, man, I got the beef in the middle back. Well, he didn't have that again, you know, without Eric and without Patrick. So it'll be, man, this is just tough sledding. And it is evaluation for, you know, real game rep evaluation. But you just kind of wonder offensively, where does it come from? I mean, we see more Kendre Miller. You know, I don't know. It's just you just wonder where offensively things can happen against a Raider team, you know, that comes in after a win, but they had lost 10 straight, and so they beat Jacksonville. So it's just it's weird.
Well, it's definitely weird, but it's not something that a few teams have been through it already. You know, some teams have been out for a while. Even, you know, you talk about the Raiders have been in evaluation mode, but they're still trying to win games. And, you know, the question becomes, did they hurt themselves for the number one pick just because you did beat Jacksonville? And for the Saints, I don't think that the Saints can technically probably get up to top five.
I don't think I can get in top seven, to be honest.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean. And right. So, you know, for the Saints, you're probably going to be locked in anywhere from maybe 8 to 11 or 12, mm-hmm. You know, and that's probably where you are over these next two games. And, you know, you may be, even if you win out the next two, you may be stuck where you're at anyway, you know.
And it'll, if you lose out the next two, which I'm not advocating, don't get me wrong, but if you did, you don't even gain. You don't. It's like the one freak year where losing, like they were going to pick probably 10th pre-Green Bay, lose to Green Bay, and I'm still probably picking around 10th. So it's one.
And that's what I meant. That's exactly my point. Yeah. I mean, and so losing normally would say, oh, you lost your last two, you move up three spots, four spots. This year, I don't know. It'll come down to tiebreakers and some other rules. And so I'm about winning anyway. I don't like to lose. So, you know, let's see if we can get a W on Sunday.
So the Raiders beat Jacksonville, as you talked about. Aiden O'Connell, we will be seeing in this. We know that the Saints have struggled. I wouldn't say just over across the board, but there have been times, you know, when you face these elite tight ends, and they're going to – this is Charlie's guy, Brock Bowers. He's a rookie out of Georgia, but I was talking to Coach Rizzi today. I mean, he's not a rookie anymore, right? He's caught 101 passes. He's got 1,000 yards. This is a unique – physical specimen from a team who drafted a tight end in the second round the year before with the 35th pick. So, you know, right there at the edge of the first round. So they go, man, you see a guy like that, it doesn't come around very often, but he's just, he's impressive.
No, I agree with you. I think, you know, for him, he's a rookie on the side of his name, but, you know, the way that he plays even early in the season, you could tell that he was far more advanced and a tremendous player, you know, one that should be all-pro very, very soon in this league. And so, you know, for me, you have to kind of treat him like I would do a receiver, and at times he's going to be bracketed, at times he's going to be doubled. You know, I'm not going to give him free access. I got to hit him. I can't let him off the line of scrimmage freely, and you know I got to give him some treatment that normally a rookie wouldn't get. And he's an inline tight end; he can go out and flex. And so you've got to know where he's at all times, though.
What would you like to see more? Because it is kind of evaluation situation from Spencer. Like, and I think Coach Rizzi put it best, and you talked about it as well. It's like I could cut up a tape, like a resume tape for Spencer, and you go, whoa, man, it's impressive. And I could also cut up out of the same game the not so good, and you'd go, whoa, a guy, he needs a lot of work. I mean, it's that opposite ends of the spectrum, right?
Yeah, definitely. And so you talk about consistency, you know, and so there's opportunities to take the easy play. Every play doesn't have to be the home run play. I think that's one thing that you have to understand as a quarterback. It's about staying on schedule. And staying on schedule means no loss of yardage, no loss of downs. It's okay to have a negative play that I don't lose yardage because at the end of the day, if even at worst, if I have to punt, it's not giving up yardage where now my defense is playing on its heels because the other team has the ball on the plus end of the field. And so it's little things like that, making sure that I always have 11 in the huddle. Last week we had a 12 man in the huddle. I can't say this is all on Spencer, but, you know, it starts with the quarterback. And so, hey, we've got 11 in the huddle. We don't have any delay of game penalties. We don't have to call a timeout because we can't get the formation in or we can't get the play in, and we can go to the line of scrimmage and have a successful play where I can go to the next play, get into the red zone, and even high red, take care of the football. And so I think that's probably rule number one, no turnovers, you know, particularly from the quarterback, and I'm not putting my teammates in bad situations, but no turnovers. In the red zone, I want 7. I don't want 3. I want to be able to take the points. Check down is okay. Then I can, you know, be able to go to the end zone or the home run throw. And understanding my alerts, I think that this team will still try to get after you because they've seen that you haven't handled the pressure well. So where are my alerts? You know, is it a hot throw? Is it something that I want to check into to be able to get the football off? You know, not taking sacks, not staying on schedule. So all of those things, it's a lot, but that's a quarterback. That's the job of the quarterback. And some of it, I don't want to call it day one because you're a young quarterback, but some of it is day one. I mean, I know personnel, so to understand that I got 11 in and out of the huddle, that shouldn't even be a thing that crosses my mind. But I'm thinking about those other 10 to 12 things I just told you as well. So sometimes that may slip up. So it's playing fast, playing on schedule, and then doing all those other 10 things that I just told you.
No, to me, and you talked about it, you know, was the turnovers and – you know, they come in bunches. I get all that. But, you know, we've watched this thing tick its way down to where now the Saints turnover differential, they're minus one. I mean, they were, you know, first two, three, you know, say that first four games, you know, plus eight, five, six, yeah, seven, eight.
You were plus eight.
Yeah.
You were plus eight.
And we have watched it just tick, 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 tick to where they're minus one, which is 16th. By the way, the flip side of that is the Raiders are minus 17 in the turnover differential. Wow.
Yeah, that shows you why you're picking in the top three. Here's something, though, Mike. Think about this. You go back to the not only Green Bay game, but go back to the Washington game. Think about the fumble right there that Tyron causes, and we can't scoop that one. Go back to the Green Bay game. Think about the interception. That Bink has right there, and we can't squeeze that one. Or just some of the tip passes that we're close, but we just can't get there. This Saints team probably should be plus eight. They are a plus eight, plus 10 type defense. And right now, you know, in offense, obviously you're responsible for your turnovers as well. Right now, you're not there. And I could probably easily say that if you are plus 8 plus 9 right now, then you have at least 4 more wins. I feel confident in saying that. If you are plus 8 plus 9 right now, you have 4 more wins.
I mean, it's the difference, you know, in a lot of things, you know, 8-7, 5-10. I mean, it doesn't take much to flip things around. All right, going to take a break. Come back. We'll talk more with Deuce. We'll also have Jeff Huntley around. We're going to remind everybody that we invite you to ring in the new year at NOLA New Year's Eve Fireworks Show. Join us for that spectacular fireworks light up the midnight sky right along the New Orleans Historic Riverfront, East and West Bank. Start your New Year's Eve celebration with the All-State Sugar Bowl Parade that rolls through the quarter at 2 p.m. And afterwards, explore French Quarter restaurants, bars, and shops until 9. and the New Orleans Eve concert on Decatur in Jackson Square, Rock with Tank and the Bangas, Bonorama, and more until the midnight Florida lead drop and the world-class fireworks display. Then, New Year's Day, 91st annual All-State Sugar Bowl Football Classic, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, Georgia Bulldogs kick off at 7:45. No better way to usher in 2025 than the traditional Florida lead drop and the internationally acclaimed NOLA New Year's Eve fireworks show produced by the Crescent City Countdown Club in partnership with the Mayor's Office of Cultural Economy and the New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Fund, and presented by New Orleans and Company, the Allstate Sugar Bowl, the Berger and Teller Families, French Quarter Festivals, Inc., and J&M Displays. All of that next week. And we'll talk about the Sugar Bowl next with Jeff Hundley, Sugar Bowl CEO. This is Fans in the Pro. Back after this on WWLAMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Fans in the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister. We are in the College Bowl season and already a College Bowl game in the books. Navy, the Midshipmen, how about this season? They go and beat Oklahoma 21-20. They finish the year at 10-3. So big win for Navy. Congrats to them and really all of the service academies who played such good football this year. But our game in town next week will be the All-State Sugar Bowl, and the CEO, Jeff Hundley, joins us now. Jeff, how are you, sir?
Hey, Mike, Deuce, great to be with you this afternoon.
The 91st, you know, no matter who it would have been great. But Notre Dame in Georgia, that's pretty big. That's going to be a big event. You'll be the final game on January 1st of the four. There's one on the 31st, and then bang, bang, boom, the Rose in the middle, and then the Sugar Bowl at night. So I couldn't ask for a better kind of display, if you will, for the Sugar Bowl for the 91st year.
Yeah, I said it previously, you know, we couldn't have drawn it up better at the start of the year to wind up with, you know, two big brand name programs, two that have had a lot of success in recent years, two that have great fan bases. They're great television draws, just straight across the board. You know, there's every reason to love this matchup, and you know, we're excited for it. We're just a couple of days away now from the teams arriving on the 29th.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you, from, you know, the Sugar Bowl, from what it means and what it does to the community. Talk about a little bit about some of the things that you guys have planned throughout leading up to the game, you know, just some of the work that you guys will do in the community.
Sure. Well, it's a different day in the era right now, Deuce, in that, you know, the schools are looking at this more like a business trip. So we're confined to our entertainment with the teams in the team hotel. So we're never going to back down from a challenge. So we decided that we're creating a true New Orleans experience, even though it's in a ballroom at the Hilton and the Marriott, while the teams are in town. We understand that they're here to play a serious game that has consequences towards the national championship, and we're going to help them, you know, do that. But at the same time, we want to feed them, show them the New Orleans culture, and have a good time. You know, for the fans, we're doing our annual New Year's parade, and that's going to be a big event, as it always is, as it goes down Decatur Street on the afternoon of December 31st. And then, of course, we've got our big fan event at Champion Square on game day. You know, beyond that, you know, with the success that we've been able to have, you know, over 90 years with the football game, it's allowed us to do some things in the community, and you know, I could talk forever about those, but we're really proud recently of, you know, we've worked together with the College Football Playoff Foundation to provide almost $5 million in the support of Orleans Parish Public School teachers. What we had found was the entire teacher workforce was turning over every 3 years, and you know, you can't do anything positive when that's taking place. And so we've really put together a program. And I'll be the first to admit, you know, we're not the experts in this, but we knew where to find experts. And New Schools for New Orleans and the College Football Playoff Foundation helped us develop a program that recruits, then recognizes and retains quality teachers. And we've already seen some percentage point increases in what we've been able to do there. We're working with in advance of the Super Bowl right now working with Nike to replace the field out at Joe Brown Park, which is a facility that 12 years ago we worked with Drew Brees and Nike to completely renovate that facility to the tune of $10 million because it had never been repaired after Hurricane Katrina. So, yeah, we like to be a good corporate citizen and feel like we're doing a good job with it. And as long as the football game continues to produce, hopefully we'll be able to do those sort of things for years to come.
So tell me about the landscape. I mean, it just feels like it's changed so fast. I mean, we talk about this with college coaches and athletic directors, but for like the bowl situation. So the finals this year are in Atlanta, Hard Rock Miami for 26, and I believe Vegas and Allegiant for 27. So the Superdome hosted the semifinal last year, quarterfinal this year. And I think, is the Sugar Bowl a quarterfinal next year as well?
Yes, we are a quarterfinal next year, and we've been in discussions with the college football playoff about a six-year potential extension after next year that would allow us to be either a quarterfinal or a semifinal game every year, which is huge to us because the unintended consequence of the college football playoff was when you're not a playoff game, you've got more players opting out. And when the players opt out, the fans opt out. So you can't sell tickets. The economic impact that we like to have for the city, which has historically averaged around $200 million every year, you know, that's lessened when that happens. So we think we have a fighting chance if we're a playoff game every year. And then, you know, furthermore, sort of letting the cat out of the bag, but not really. You know, we've been in talks with the playoff about hosting a potential national championship game a couple of years from now down the line. And, you know, we're busy, you know, trying to negotiate a deal that we think, is good but that will bring the game here. What we found, you know, we hosted back in 2020 with the LSU Clemson game, and costs of hosting the same event 8 years later, we projected to be almost double what they were then. We, as an organization, you know, put $6 million of our own money towards the support of that 2020 event. And we feel like we'll have to do the same in order to bring the next one here, which we're willing to do. But at the end of the day, we're going to need the local community and the business community to help us, you know, going forward, because we can't continue to do that indefinitely, you know, put that sort of money out of our own pocket going forward, because there's not the way that works is that the playoff keeps all the money. We don't make any of it back. We just have to raise the money to pay the expenses. And that's what we're in business for, and we'll do it. But it's certainly not an ideal business model.
Yeah, and that's what I was really going to ask when you're just hearing some of that, and you know that's rough numbers from what 4 years ago, and so potentially another 4 or 5 years, what would that number look like? And you know, you talked about the local community stepping up, but even possibly having the state to have to step in too, because from a economic impact, I think that should bode well for not only local New Orleans, but you know the metro region, but you know to showcase the state as well. Is that not correct?
Absolutely. You know, you hit the nail on the head there, Deuce. With you know, when we host a national championship game, the viewership is, you know, 25 million plus. That's basically an infomercial for the city and the state. And the event itself draws, you know, it's an over $200 million economic impact, which means, you know, a little over $20 million in direct tax revenue. And when we're a playoff game every year, that tax revenue is coming every year. And it's important that people understand that. It's a good return on investment, you know, when you help us out. You know, that money is coming right back in a big fashion to the city and state in the terms of tax dollars. And then, you know, the businesses, the hotels, the restaurants, the taxi drivers, the Uber drivers, what have you, everybody's, you know, it's good for everybody when that happens. But, you know, if you've been paying any attention at all lately to college athletics, just about every decision now is being made about money. And that's not historically been where we've been our strongest, you know, in here in New Orleans. So again, we're reaching out and we redefine what local means. We're, you know, we're talking to people everywhere from Gulfport and Biloxi to Lake Charles and all points in between, trying to solicit help. And we've had some people step up and help us, but it's going to take a lot more if we're going to be able to sustain this thing long term. Again, I feel like, you know, we run a lean and efficient operation in comparison to the competition. So we don't have to match everybody dollar for dollar, but we do have to do better than where we're at right now. And I think, you know, based on the plan of action that we've had in place for the last year, the response has been positive, and hopefully that'll continue, you know, as we move ahead in the months and years to come.
Well, I agree. And my final question is kind of just that. I think there are people out there probably that go, oh, yeah, it's a rotation. We'll get the national. You know, it's not like it. It's a completely different situation. And you've talked about that LSU game. That was January 13th of 2020, because we began the renovation of the Superdome on January 14th. So in that time frame, so now here you are hosting this year with a brand new Superdome, and it's, you know, for the world to see. And then a month later, the Super Bowl will do the same thing. So two important foundational pillars, the All-State Sugar Bowl and the Super Bowl for 2025, should get this city and state off to a really good start, because it's important that it goes both ways. The Greater New Orleans Sports Foundation. These things just don't happen. They happen with a lot of hard work from a lot of people.
Yep, and, you know, this will maybe put it in a nutshell. When the business deal was offered to the bowl for a six-year extension for participation in the college football playoff, and I say this just to point out the competition that's out there, the message was delivered to me, Jeff, we think this is a fair deal, whether it's for the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or the Las Vegas Sports Authority. And that's all I needed to hear.
Yeah, there you go.
Sometimes find a way to make it happen, right?
And they do. Jay Cicero and that group and the Sugar Bowl. So, man, I can't wait. Looking forward to showing off the dome next week. And Notre Dame and Georgia should be a great game. Jeff Hunley, CEO of the All-State Sugar Bowl. Appreciate your time, and we'll be talking to you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Need to take a break. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister. Be back after this. WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, Fans in the Pro. I want to thank the good folks at Magazine Pizza for feeding our sports talk crew on game day. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. That's MagazinePizza.com. And Saints on Sunday, Pelicans tonight. Pelicans last night lost at home, and playing Memphis tonight, which would have been the Ja Morant and Zion Williamson show. They were 1-2 in the draft, but no Zion still. And Deuce, I know where you are with this team. You're a big fan. I like to go to the games. I mean, it is. I listened to the game last night. It's just painful. They're working their tail off. They just can't get the shots to fall. I mean, it's just tough to listen to and watch.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, you know, the injuries are one thing, but then, you know, at times there's been effort, and at times I think that you could be better at efforts. And if you listen to what Coach Willie Green has said after some of the games, starts with competing. I mean, and you have to be able to compete. And so, you know, you can say, hey, that's on the players. Hey, that's on the coaches. At some time, how many times that coach is touching the floor?
Right.
He's not. It's the players. I mean, and so at some point, I have to have a little pride in what I'm doing. I mean, I know it's a different game. You have the guaranteed contracts, and you look at the Mike Brown situation over in Sacramento. Yep. Mike Brown, 2 years ago, yep, was the coach of the year in the NBA, gone. And they have a slow start. They felt like that they've had championship aspirations out in Sacramento. And obviously, you know, you feel kind of similar here in New Orleans, but you got to have some of the star players. And, you know, too many times that for the Pelicans, you've been in games in the fourth quarter, but some games, Mike, I think it's like 10, 12, 14 games, you're down like 15 points. And you're losing those games by 15-plus points. Where last night, and I know it was because you had a back-to-back, you waved the flag early in the fourth quarter, you know, just to say, hey, you know, we're going to regroup for tomorrow. We know we have back-to-back. And, you know, Houston played them just a couple weeks ago. But I don't think that Houston felt – threaten one bit in that game last night. And so, you know, hopefully you get a healthy Zion Williamson, and, you know, Jose is still out, and Brandon Ingram is still out, and Zion is doing some 5-on-5 stuff. I think he and Jose are both, you know, and so that means they're closer to coming back. But right now the Pelicans, and I mean, this isn't a wild take. The Pelicans have the worst record in the NBA right now.
5-26.
Yeah, I mean, and so I think with the loss last night, it was Washington who you kind of surpassed. And so that's too talented of a team. That's too talented of a team. And I don't want to blame the staff. I think when you look at it, the fault has to go to both parties. That's a player issue as well as a staff issue. And so you've got to make it easier where I'm getting in sets. Where guys run freely and move freely to be able to score. And then you've got to have some effort. You got to have a little bit of pride as well on, I'm just not going to let a guy go coast to coast and show zero effort to stop them, or, you know, to compete for rebounds, et cetera.
So also Jordan Hawkins is listed as questionable tonight, Memphis. So I saw this on from Justin at Pro Pels Talk. And so this is the Pelicans' losing streaks this year. They've had a 3-game losing streak, a 6-game losing streak, a 9-game losing streak, and an 8-game losing streak. Their winning streaks, none. Man, that is just
It's been one. You would win a game, and then you haven't been able to put back-to-back-to-back games together.
Right.
I mean, that's the problem. But the big problem is, who's available? I mean, that's the biggest problem. And then when you do start to get some of those stars back, it's just I don't have the effort. I don't have consistency, you know, and I have too many turnovers and I can't close games out, or just it's the little things that's eating this team up right now.
Yep. Charlie says that I've had one back to back, and that they do expect Hawkins to play tonight against Memphis. Perfect time to turn it around. Just get one. Just get one, baby. You got the Clippers in town on Monday as well. Take a break. Back after this on Fans in the Pro. Mike Austin, Deuce McAllister, Charlie Long in the booth, WWL, AMFM.com. Always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Got some sad news to pass along. Greg Gumbel passed away today at the age of 78. Not everybody knows. He was born in New Orleans. Of course, his brother, Bryant Gumbel. So, man, just a tough, tough year. That lost a courageous battle with cancer. He was 78 years old. Again, born in New Orleans. Didn't stay long. The family moved to Chicago. But, man, just a pioneer from the broadcasting standpoint. And I don't know, did you know him at all, Deuce?
I did not know him, but obviously you followed his career.
Yeah, as did I. Thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Greg Gumbel, who passed away today. The news is coming up next in another hour of Fans in the Pro. Stay with us.